When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
LeBron is the one too, but Jordan the one.
Michael Jordan is, I don't know. This conversation always winds up getting like super long-winded, but like in terms of a professional basketball player, like who can do everything on the I don't think anyone has ever been better than LeBron James. Mm. But there is something about Michael Jordan that's just like, nah, like, I used to do this with Kobe and LeBron, and it used to piss the people off that I was talking to, but it was like, okay, in the fourth quarter, who are you gonna give the ball to? You're gonna give the ball to Kobe. Mm-hmm. Who you want at the foul line if you're taking free throws? And when you want Kobe, you got to take a three to win. You're giving the ball to Kobe in every one of these scenarios, even if you're defending Michael Jordan on that, who are you asking to defend him? Is Kobe being Bryant?
Right.
Like the answer was always Kobe, 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 Kobe. Like when the puppet commercial started, I was team Kobe. I was like, I was not team LeBron. And I realized like if I asked all of those same questions and took Kobe out and put Jordan there, I'm probably answering Jordan every time. Mm-hmm. Who do I want to have the ball? Like I remember being a kid and watching close Chicago Bulls games on WGN at my grandma's house because we didn't have cable. Oh, Jordan gonna hit a game winner, Michael Jordan doesn't lose. Like I thought that as a child, Michael Jordan does not lose, he wins, and so, you know, I watched him lose to the Pistons, and still like no, Michael Jordan doesn't lose.
That didn't count.
Didn't count. Yeah, it didn't count. And then I remember once he beat my sister loved Magic, and once he beat the Lakers, I was convinced he was never going to lose again. He actually didn't.
I'm about to say, you were right, young D-Lo.
I mean, I remember hating Horace Grant after that Orlando series.
I was mad. Get him off their shoulders. Man. Get him out of here.
Man. But I realize if I were to do the Kobe versus LeBron thing I used to do when I was always team Kobe, if I did it with Jordan and LeBron, I would be Jordan.
Do it with Jordan and Kobe, too.
That would be harder for me.
The three.
No,
the
I guess it wouldn't. No, I guess, yeah.
Kobe might get it.
Yeah, I mean.
That's it.
If, yeah, yes. You're correct. But if you gave me final possession, you can have first pick. I don't care who you leave behind. I'll take whoever's left. If you get one and I get the other, I'm happy. In the other argument, not so much.
Yeah.
Because it's not that LeBron doesn't have that gene to close. It's just he doesn't have that type of bag. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he has moments. The Toronto one is like that game winner he hit against Toronto is one of the stupidest shots in the history against basketball. The Indiana one is insane.
LeBron's Jesse. A little different because like his moments are like game six against Boston where he's like 45, 15, 15.
Yeah.
Like, all right, they're down 3-1 and LeBron's putting the team on his back. And like that's kind of like, yeah, you don't think LeBron is like the last second, but just more so like, all right, he's going to put up 45 points and however many rebounds he wants. And this is like he's going to take over a game.
I remember that time when Jordan was down 3-1 or when he was down 3-2 and had, it didn't.
That's cool, bro. You get to play John Stockton. Wow. Wow, I get to play Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. Insane.
It actually did happen. I don't remember it at all.
Wow. Like, I imagine if LeBron got to play John Starks. All right, John Starks. Pat Ewing, who never won a damn thing. Then, yeah, LeBron would have been just as fine. Caught Magic at the end of his career.
Well, now, look, all I can say is talk about John Starks. J.J. Barrera locked his ass up.
I'm a Celtics fan. I don't care about LeBron. Whatever.
I love LeBron, though. LeBron didn't play yesterday. I was
Me too. Like we had pointed out. Yeah, we had pointed out the Lakers Spurs game. I started tapping into the final quarter of Denver Boston, And I kind of just didn't, it wasn't even my computer. I just popped up on the phone and there's an article on ESPN, LeBron out tonight versus, I'm like, I wasn't mad. It was just like, I was looking forward to watching the Lakers and Spurs. And I watched, like, I didn't watch it the same way. I watched it in a very different way.
I caught it starting in the third quarter. And yeah. They started running away.
I saw Luka was cooking and just like, they're getting.
Did you see LeBron talking about that the night before?
The Spurs game?
Yeah. So
I did not. I did not.
They were in New Orleans and they were like, LeBron, are you playing? And it's not verbatim, but he's like, hey, man, look, man, I'm 41 years old, man. Every back-to-back is a game time decision for me. So I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm 41 years old, man.
Is this the new LeBron James impression that you're just breaking out? Is that what that is? What is happening right
soft
now?
Soft launching the LeBron.
I'm so
son, maybe go play a different sport. Go have your mother pick you up.
Did you set all of that up to just break out the LeBron James impression?
That's really what he sounded like, because it wasn't. I saw the video.
Yeah.
And that's what he said. He just dismissed that like, LeBron, are you going to?
That's the reporter's voice. Yeah, like, okay.
You going to play tomorrow? It's a back-to-back?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm 41 years old, man. What? I don't even know. You know, every game is a game time decision for me.
LeBron.
You know, I'm 41 years old, man. I don't know.
Like, why does he sound like Eddie Murphy in Beverly Hills Cop? When he says, hey, man, I ain't going to fall for no banana in the tailpipe, man. Why does LeBron James sound like that?
He sounds like Eddie Murphy doing a Charles Barkley impersonation of Charles Barkley doing a LeBron impersonation.
Oh, my goodness.
That's what he sounded like, though. That's what he sounded like.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
So LeBron did not play. LeBron James, I saw this yesterday. He is one game away from being ineligible.
I saw that. Yeah, Keith. I always want to say Keith Smart. Keith Smith tweeted that out. That he's not going to play every game the rest of the season. That 21-year run of all NBA nods is going to come to an end.
That's crazy. That was the first time I said, maybe this rule is stupid.
Well, I thought that when Jokic got hurt.
Oh, yeah, he's not going to make it either.
I thought that when Jokic got hurt.
Oh, forgot about Jokic.
When Jokic got hurt and they said, was it four to 5 weeks, 6 weeks? I can't remember what the number was. But I remember thinking, they're going to change the rule.
Yeah, they like, got to do something different.
Jokic is going to have like, 30-17-10, and he's not going to be able to win the MVP. And the other, Giannis is going to have similar numbers.
What do you do then?
It's going to be.
Hold on. Let me say it. He was right.
He said it. He said this too?
Draymond Green was right.
He said this too?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Wow.
Now, if I remember correctly. Okay. He said, you're going to have scrubs winning awards. And you said, no, Draymond, you're still not going to win awards. And that is not what's going to happen. Scrubs aren't going to win the award. But it's the guy who should probably be the MVP isn't going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if LeBron's All-NBA run would have continued had he been healthy the entire season. He's having a solid season, but like how this all breaks out, like I don't know. J-Dub might already be ineligible. He missed so much time at the beginning of the season. Like, what does all NBA look like? And Luka, stay healthy, man. This might be your award to lose.
Like, this is like the way this is shaping out. This is as if like Drake May or Matthew Stafford won the MVP.
No, don't do that. Matt Stafford's thrown for almost 50
don't
touchdowns.
Do that.
That's a bad take. Bad take.
Boo.
Someone throw their shoe at him.
Boom.
Got hurt. Josh Allen wasn't there. Mahomes got okay, we'll just give it to Stafford and these guys.
Mahomes was there until like the second of last week and he wasn't doing anything. But like, now, what do you do though, Clay? Can you have someone win the MVP if they only play 50 games?
Like you said it, but I think it's Luka. Like this
no, it's
year,
absolutely Luka.
This year is Luka. Maybe SGA can get in there again.
Yeah, we're talking like SGA season has been bad. Like he's regressed or something.
Man,
and isn't
he played
good
every
anymore.
Game or something. Yeah. And he averaging 32 or something like that.
Yeah, he's playing terrific.
But to your point,
you can't play half the season and then
no, I understand. But I can you Like 58, is that too little?
That's works for me, I guess. I don't know. I'm telling Adam Silver.
I don't know.
I think
man.
They might have to scrap the whole something. Rule.
I think that's ultimately what's going to happen. Join me at the Sacramento Kings game at the Golden One Center coming up this Monday when they take on Los Angeles. I'm going to be out there on behalf of the Westfield Galleria at Roseville again. There's going to be a point during the third quarter where a QR code is going to pop up on that screen, and you're going to have the opportunity to scan it through your phone. You can have the opportunity to win a ton of prizes that night, as well as a $250 gift card. Last time, I thought there was going to be a table set up out there for us to give different things away. I've learned there will be a table out there this time to give some things away. So that's going to be at the game this Monday. Scan, play, win, and look for me with the Westfield Galleria at Roseville inside the Golden One Center this Monday when the Sacramento Kings take on Los Angeles. We'll come back. Anthony Slater of ESPN joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I'm going to ask one question. We'll leave it. We can address this tomorrow. Was Brian Flores a part of the Tom Brady coup that they attempted
I think
in
they
Miami?
Wanted him to be, but he wasn't with it because it wasn't legal.
Okay.
Yeah, like Brian Flores, like, I'm going off of this.
Yep, okay. Got you.
Brian, play Lawrence, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady had one of the great answers to a question in recent memory. You guys can go check my Twitter. It's on there. He was on Joel Klatt's show. And Joel Klatt asked him if he was around today, would he like NIL it, transfer portal, all that other stuff. And it's a long 2-minute answer, but it's one of the great answers that you'll see right now about transfer portal, life, going through tough times. It was fantastic.
Okay.
Shout out Tom Brady.
Sorry, I was distracted for
get
a moment.
Right.
Just got a text from Anthony Slater. He's finishing up with Brian Windhorst, then he's going to join the big boys over here on D'Lo and KC. So once he finishes his little pod, who knows if anybody will hear it. I'm just kidding. He's finishing up the pod with Brian Windhorst, and then he's going to jump on with us. So Anthony Slater of ESPN will be here in just a few minutes. This will be a conversation with Ant-Man, because you just read a tweet out loud to the Chatty House. It's from Evan Sittery. The Kings are canvassing the market to offload Malik Monk in a multi-team framework. I think it means multi-team trade framework. I don't know. With the Warriors for Jonathan Kuminga. The Nets are a team to monitor with Michael Porter Jr. In that scenario, Golden State winds up with Michael Porter. Sacramento winds up with Jonathan Kuminga, and Brooklyn winds up with Malik Monk, some draft capital and some salary filler via the Golden State Warriors. I don't know how Evan got here. I mean, the Kings canvassing the market to offload Malik Monk. There's nothing surprising about that. The Kings trying to grab a third team to work with the Golden State Warriors. There's nothing surprising about that. But I did read something about the Warriors' potential interest in Michael Porter Jr. earlier this morning. Mm-hmm. And this seems like a way that this has all come together. Now, I don't know if Evan is putting this all together himself, or is this is some reporting on his part. Because honestly, I'm not exactly sure what Evan does.
Evan looks...
Not shade. I genuinely don't know.
Not, and this isn't shade the response. Evan hears things from other people and reports it. Like, not from his sources, but like Brett Siegel just wrote a article saying this and that. And Evan will just talk about what was in the article.
Okay.
Aggregates,
okay.
Basically.
Here's what we know without any aggregation is The Kings obviously still have an interest in Jonathan Kuminga. We'll talk to Anthony Slater about that in a minute. It also appears that the Golden State Warriors still have no interest in Malik Monk. It has long been stated by James Hamm and many, many others months ago that if the Sacramento Kings were able to get a deal done that involved Malik Monk, they would probably need a third team involved. Mm-hmm. Independently, there seems to have been some interest expressed by the Golden State Warriors and Michael Porter Jr. Putting the Golden State Brooklyn relationship together, and now you have the Jordy Fernandez thing, you have the history with Malik Monk, maybe you have a way to offload Jonathan Kuminga, maybe Jonathan Kuminga is something Brooklyn's not interested, and maybe that's a way that you get all of these teams involved.
There were people who, I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just gonna say that's something that we've kind of felt like that way since the summer. If you were gonna bring Malik Monk, or excuse me, if you're gonna trade Malik Monk, you were going to have to get other people involved. Or if you were going to try to get Jonathan Kuminga, you're going to have to get other people involved.
Let's bring in our man Anthony Slater of ESPN. All he does is write and talk about basketballs. He just wrapped up a podcast with Brian Windhorst. And, man, appreciate you, man. Thank you. I always get a kick out of looking at the screen and seeing your backyard. I don't know why.
You guys are getting the not as great version where I'm actually inside my house with the screen door right here. I've actually got it to where when I go on TV, I'm outside with the tripod set up, so it's like a pure view of the backyard, but you can kind of see it a little.
I saw it yesterday, I think it was NBA Today, and you were outside. Yeah. Nice sunny day. Mm-hmm. Do you have any neighbors like Wilson from Home Improvement?
Yeah, there was one time that like leaf blower was going. I was like, this is not great timing, but it wasn't purposeful. Somebody started like trying to sabotage.
So
throw some signs up or something.
So the news is out now that Luka has just been traded to the Lakers. We'll go to Anthony Slater right now, and the leaf blower's going.
I mean, it'll probably happen at some point.
I love the idea.
Like, one time, the closest I've come to that, I guess one time a squirrel was like, you know, scattering across the fence back there, and my dad saw it. I know that.
I love the idea of like Ant's neighbor being, hey, is that Anthony? Well, goes outside, looks over the fence. Oh, honey, it is. That's Anthony on TV. Yeah.
That would be. It's definitely unique to ESPN, but you know, I think soon I will actually have like more of a home studio setup than more traditional. But they've been like, it's kind of like interesting. Pop in, and suddenly there's some sunniness. There's a foggy day outside, and I was like kind of reporting on like a somewhat depressing time for the Warriors. I think it might have been we were talking about Clay. Like we did a Clay story and. About like kind of regrets about like how the Klay Thompson thing ended, and it was like foggy behind me. I was like, yeah, kind of
it fits. It rains so many damn days in a row. No wonder you wrote a 10,000 article on the Kings.
Well, that too. But that was a good segue.
Thank you.
Yes.
I wanna point out one particular piece that you one particular line in your article that Kenny and I discussed yesterday. And it was attributed to a team source, but you were talking about Doug Christie. And Doug Christie, you know, despite this really, really bad start, being safe. I don't know what type of context you got in that conversation. Kenny and I both took that as Doug is not getting fired during this season. And we left it at that and didn't think like he's going to coach out next year or anything further. It's that there is no interest in firing Doug Christie during this season.
Yeah, and I think that's relevant because they're 8-29.
Of course.
They weren't planning to be 8-29. And there's been, you know, criticisms of certain coaching decisions. And I think, you know, 30,000 feet view. And again, especially writing for ESPN, like this is kind of a drop in for a lot of people that aren't on the ground level, you know, following the day to day with the Kings. I would expect you guys to understand the dynamics more at play of why Doug is safe for the rest of the season. But I think it's introducing that idea to the world that like they're backing Doug Christie as of right now. I would agree with you that I'm not saying he is, and nobody is saying he is or isn't, you know, safe in perpetuity here, and it's just like he's the permanent coach of this rebuild. But as of now, not only is he being backed, and I think what I was kind of trying to portray in the story, especially to a national audience who drops in on these Doug Christie press conferences, where he's like pretty critical of his veterans, right? Like very proud, respected veterans. Like, why, you know, wow, this young coach is really going after like the effort level and, you know, this idea that they need to play, you know, this defensive minded for the city type approach, which clearly they're trying to build around here. And it's this idea of like that this is Scott Perry is the most, you know, powerful decision maker right now in the organization. And he like this is he's fine with this. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how they want to build the brand of the Kings. And part of that is Doug Christie, from everything I've heard, is safe through at least the season. And I think you guys read that correct.
So, and that's kind of like Damien said, where we left it. The other part of that is, I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. I'll put it to you like this. I'm not confident that Doug Christie gets another opportunity after this year. From talking to Scott Perry, and we're like really dissecting that one line. But did you get the sense that with Doug Christie, Scott Perry's in this for the long haul as well?
I think that, well, Scott Perry, yes.
Well, I mean, like, I as Doug Christie being his coach.
I think it's, you know, I think this offseason will be a real test case for where this everything is going. But I would look at, right, we're on the NFL week, what do they call it, like Black Monday, where like mm-hmm. a bunch of coaches get fired. Like, for example, Miami. I follow the Dolphins. Mike McDaniel in the last several weeks seems safe in Miami. That was kind of the reports. They were winning a little bit more. He was empowered to bench Tua. And all the way up until Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it was like, he's safe. But then people said there was a meeting between him and Stephen Ross. And Stephen Ross left that like kind of conflicted, but finally decided, you know what, change is needed. And maybe that's because he's getting an indication that a John Harbaugh or something else is coming up that's more appealing. But he really didn't decide if Mike McDaniel was or wasn't the guy until Thursday of this week after the season. Mm-hmm. To my point of like, Scott Perry's in such a calm position right now. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things I was kind of maybe hoping to reveal to a national audience that looks at the Kings and goes, oh my gosh, they must be panicking. How are they in this situation? It's like the panic was the last couple seasons and how they kind of drove this situation into a ditch. Right now, it's just an assessment mode. Mm-hmm. Everything is an assessment. Nobody's saying like, hey, your job's on the line if you do or don't make this decision. And I think, you know, to your point about Doug Christie, he's being given a chance. This is, you know, I think we can all be fair and say this is probably the only head coaching job he could have gotten at this stage of his career, the Kings one. Sure. And he's going to try to coach himself into this job, into the long term. And he's been given at least this runway, and we will see. I think the main thing, you know, if you were given truth serum to Scott Perry, it would be like, you know, we'll assess it after the season, because he's going to assess everything after the season, really.
Anthony Slater of ESPN with us here on D'Lo and KC. I'm going to tie this back to Sacramento, I promise. But what did you think of the news yesterday? It had gained steam for a few days.
Trae Young?
Yeah, that Trae was headed out of Atlanta, certainly. It gained a lot of steam yesterday morning that it appeared he was going to Washington, and then the deal gets announced, and it's, you know, kind of a mid-level contract player and an expiring contract and an older player in CJ McCollum. For a player who's, you know, 25-10 on his career, has been a pretty dynamic offensive player his entire career, four-time All-Star. How did you digest that news yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the shifting dynamics of the league, but we don't like it. That's a long conversation, right? The apron era and the idea of these monster contracts are suddenly viewed a lot more toxically than they previously were. I would say scoring guards are losing their value in the league. I think mm-hmm. you're seeing that to a much mini degree with Malik Monk, for example, in Sacramento. And I think those are all the dynamics at play where the Hawks just wanted to get out of the contract mm-hmm. and found some expirings to do it. You know, the Wizards are probably entering like, you know, contract rehab situation with Trae Young, maybe get a little bit more excitement there. But it was a sobering reminder or an introduction to, I think, people that, you know, the landscape is changing around the league for several reasons, many of them like CBA type reasons, which can be very convoluted, but it feels like a different era. I mean, honestly, if Anthony Davis, for example, gets traded over the next month, I think that return will probably surprise people.
It feels like, not that Trae Young was this perfect player by any means, but he was an all-star level guy. I talked about it earlier. There are guys who make an all-star team, and then there are all-stars. There's a difference to me. Like, you can make an all-star game here or there, but to be an all-star, we're talking multiple years of something like that. And I thought Trae Young, I still do think Trae Young is one of those type of guys. But if he's not looked at as a guy that teams are willing to pay and go to the max for, is there like seven guys in the league that they are willing to do that with now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's lessening because, you know, it's a hindrance to have these huge money deals now, and they're tough to trade, obviously. But also, like, the Trae Young that made four All-Star teams, the Trae Young that took the Hawks to the finals was a more impactful player. You know, he was scoring at a more efficient level, and the team was built better around him with, like, the John Collins and the pick-and-roll stuff and Herter, right? Like, those teams were Trae Young teams, whereas this team this season – you know, the Hawks traded him because they're 1-9 in games he played. Their defensive rating was like, you know, 15 points worse. And this new Hawks regime that has come in, Anzi Sala, who I know from, he was in the Warriors front office. They want to be rangy, athletic, defensive minded, no weak spots to pick at. And they were winning a lot more when they were able to, you know, Jalen Johnson's the star and it's Dyson Daniels. And they're out there just, you know, playing their brand of basketball. And if we want to wrap it back to the Kings, you know, it's been reported, I reported in the story, like the Kings were not in the Trae Young market. And part of that is, what type of team is Scott Perry trying to build? Rangy, defensive-minded, wings, right? You know, he gives Keegan Murray the contract. He's interested in Kuminga. Some of these wings coming up in the draft. Like, Trae Young doesn't necessarily fit that, you know. And I think it's fair to criticize it or wonder, like, you know, should the league be shifting this far away from those type of scoring guards, but they are, it seems.
Now, bringing all of that back to Sacramento and Scott Perry, you know, seeing what Trae Young got, you just alluded to what a potential Anthony Davis deal might look like. How in the world do you trade Zach LaVine?
Like, you need a desperate team. I wouldn't predict it's going to happen. It seems like Milwaukee could be the likeliest, because you just need a team that's like, hey, you need a scorer. Yeah. You need something now. You need a shakeup, right? You know, I think, you know, why was Zach LaVine traded from the Bulls? Because they found a desperate team trying to resuscitate their season at a moment where there was a lot of people trying to, you know, just survive the moment. Mm-hmm. So the Kings traded for Zach LaVine. And you know, you could say that's kind of trending towards what's happening in Milwaukee with them trying to save the Giannis era. Now, I think Giannis cooled temperatures talking to Sam Amick, you know, today, but they need something, right? They're not going where they need to. Clearly, Giannis wants to at least be in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And I'm not saying Zach LaVine is the answer, but, you know, they kind of got to be bargain bin shopping with what they're going to be offering, which is, you know, Kuzma, Portis type numbers. So that's a theoretical fit, but if I'm being honest, Zach LaVine would probably be a lot easier to trade as an expiring this summer into next season than he is right now.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Which kind of leads to some of the things that we've talked about in the last few weeks, is there's a lot of angst around here. Want new players, want players out of here, want to start the new era. What was it? December 15th, all January 15th, all this other stuff. And I kind of come to the conclusion that, man, that I don't think much of anything's going to happen in Sacramento here. Like, I think the contracts are too tough to move. And I think, to your point with LaVine, if anything happens, it's going to be more so in the summer than it is this trade deadline.
I think if the league wants the Kings guys, they can come get them. You know, I think that's clear. But also, you know, if the cost of moving off one of these contracts is a future first, why would Scott Perry or anybody making a decision about a deep, patient, multi-year rebuild do that? You know, the most important player for the Sacramento Kings is in college. right? It's the first round. It's whoever they take with their premium 2026 lottery pick coming up. He's and next season
in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, could, theoretically, but at least, you know, in this a little bit more of like current moment for the Kings, whoever they get in the first round next year will be, you know, the number one draw and the number one interest of next season. I think, you know, maybe Scott Perry makes a trade this summer, even at the deadline where, you know, you guys may ask me about Kuminga. If he's in here, people will be interested. That'll be important because that'll represent, hey, like the next wave, the Scott Perry imprint on this team. Mm-hmm. But if they're going to lose this season, probably have a really young rebuilding lottery team next season, there's not really that much motivation for him to get off these contracts unless there is an appealing offer for the contracts. Mm-hmm. Because you could just eat them. You know, you're not trying to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're not trying to shift everything. Again, that's this. It'll be the depressing days of a rebuild are these type of days, are the nights where March and April this year, especially if they don't do much at the deadline, like Golden 1 Center is going to feel a little, you know, fog. You know, we were talking about the fog earlier. Like, it's not going to be beautiful to watch, but, you know, the Thunder's rebuild, the Pistons rebuild, those days were not fun to watch for the home fans, but they're like, glad we did that. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's part of why they might not be aggressive at the deadline, because it's not like they got all these chips to go get picks or anything.
Oh, it can't be worse than what we're watching now. Obviously, we do want to get to Jonathan Kuminga, but I have a thought process I started to develop about a month ago that I'll run by you, Anthony Slater. I don't think Zach LaVine picks up that option. Mm.
What would he get as a free agent?
I have no idea. He gets the hell out of Sacramento.
I live, you know, in the Sacramento area. I like Sacramento. So I name the last city. I'll have you guys name the last city in the country or the last job, whatever, that you would work for. Like, you just don't want to live there.
Bakersfield.
You know, you know, a farm in, you know, whatever, yeah, South Dakota.
Starksville. Would
you, if I was offering you, what is LaVine next year? Like 48 million?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. If I was offering you $48 million to go work on a farm in South Dakota for a year, maybe I'll even trade you to a job you want in the middle of the next year. Or, you know, you can make 15 doing, you know, going somewhere else you want. You'd probably be like, I'll take 48.
But it wouldn't be, but see, it wouldn't be 15 though. It would be maybe 15 times three. And I think it would be closer to 25. 20 or 25 times at least three for Zach LaVine.
Well, that's where Rich Paul would, you know, Rich Paul knows better than we do. And if you're correct, and that's Zach LaVine's desires, and he believes there, you know, you don't opt out unless you know that that's there. And sure, if there is a team out there with cap space willing, but I just covered a summer where no free agent sign. You know, everybody extends now. Mm-hmm. There's no cap space out there. And the teams that have cap space, the Nets this summer, again, I was covering Kuminga's free agency all summer. They're just trying to drum up interest. Hey, you have some cap space. And all the Nets did was go give bad contracts and picks. They got a pick with Michael Porter, send Cam Johnson, absorbed it into their cap space, and now they're resuscitating Michael Porter and trying to trade him out. That's just how the league works, where what I think is more likely is If the Kings were desperate to get off LaVine, which again, Scott Perry's saying I'm not desperate to get off Scott or Zach LaVine, but he's the type of contract that would be traded with the first into somebody's cap space, so he can still make that money. But to your point, look, if he's so desperate to get out and he knows there's some type of $3 or $75 million offer, sure, maybe, but what, I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Well, there is another way. Scott says, "Hey, brother, you could pick up that option. It'll be for a year off." Mm. And I don't like that. For the record, I do not like that. But yeah, like if you said it though, that's probably a desperate move because you might be damaging a relationship with Rich and so on and so
forth.
Pretty
important relationship.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you.
And that's Scott's specialty, right? That's one of his real specialties. For sure. Is like good relationships.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine can score, and also like Zach. This is a great example this season. Like, is Zach LaVine leading them out of the bottom of the lottery where they, at this point, you probably want to be? No, I mean, they're not winning. It's not a great feeling to go through this, but rebuilds are painful. Mm. True rebuilds. Mm. The Kings steered themselves here. They've got to take the pain to get out of it.
Yeah. I was telling them,
because this franchise knows nothing about pain.
This is new to us.
Yeah.
I don't like this new NBA. I don't like the way they maneuver the contracts and
the apron stuff. Just seems so over the top. I don't. It's convoluted. I get it. I get what you're saying. I think it's like taking some of the fun of transaction season. Like I think this deadline might be a little bit duller than people want.
You're gonna have a hell of a time selecting all NBA players at this point.
With the 65 game rule,
yeah. Like Jokic MVP's gonna be out. Too. Giannis gonna be out. LeBron gonna be out. Hell, J-Dub is out. He made it last year. He's out already.
Yeah, no, you're right. They've made a lot of random rules over the last few years, but I still think the basketball's been very good. Like the league-wide nightly basketball, I love.
The Spurs owning the Oklahoma City Thunder is one of the best storylines of the season.
That's been that three-game stretch. And just the Thunder bleeding a little bit right now. Like I think the league kind of needed that. You know, the West is going to be a bear. Top of the East. How about Knicks coming in here next week? Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Look, I think Trae Young is coming in here the next week, too. Washington coming in.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
What you, when they go Knicks head coach Mike Brown next week, do you think the fans do like the cheering for almost as a representative of like, you know, how did we get here type thing? Or how
they'll pop.
Rousing ovation.
Yeah, the crowd is absolutely going to pop for Mike. We talk about this all of the time. The crowd at the arena is not the same as on social media. It's not the same as you know, God bless everyone listening and watching. Like these are the diehards of the diehards and all of that. But the people who are at the Golden One Center, they're there for a good time. And they have an appreciation, not that, you know, others don't, but they have an appreciation for this franchise and the history of this franchise. And Mike's going to get a lot of love. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a lot of love next week.
Yeah. And again, I think it's also like a little bit of a representation of like, you know, hey, why did we do what we did? Why did we just yank out of that beam era? So. Mm-hmm. Rapidly,
that post game handshake might be watched a little bit. Might be watched a little bit.
No, it's just gonna be a.
That would require. That would require a handshake. You see the, you know, like the hand. And it's like the hey.
Yeah.
You see that sometimes.
Yeah.
We'll, he's giving that to Bobby Jackson. Bobby, all right.
You've probably talked basketball for the last 4 hours, so we'll let you get out. Is there anything we need to keep our eyes on as far as Jonathan Kuminga? We're nearing the date that he can be traded, which is the 15th of this month, and he stays tied to the Kings. There's like a Brooklyn rumor out there. There's a Michael Porter Jr. thing out there. Three-team deals. Like there's all sorts of different things happening out there on the internet.
Yeah, I mean, it's posturing season, it's intel season, it's smokescreen season. What remains true is like Scott Perry he's interested in Jonathan Kuminga. Mm-hmm. He has always wanted to get him on a bargain. And this summer, the Warriors said no, right? They weren't gonna sell low on Kuminga. And everything that has happened to this moment in the Warrior season means they were going to have to sell lower. Mm-hmm. But you know, the one of the big questions being around the Warriors is like, if they're willing to incentivize the Kuminga contract, attach to first and go try to get, you know, somebody with that number, then they, you know, you could shop in some different aisles. If it's him and two first round picks, if it's a post Steph Curry era first round pick, that's gold in this league, right? I want the Warriors 2029 unprotected first.
Yeah.
So you could go do that, but are they willing to do that? That's a big question. Do they get in the bigger ticket item, the Davis type conversation? We'll see. The one thing the Kings have going for them is they are the most interested in Jonathan Kuminga. There's, you know, people in the league are like, you know, that's theoretically an expiring deal. It's a flyer on a young wing. I think the Kings more than other teams are like, but we really want to like give this guy a runway. Mm. And that's done. One thing I know for them is like Jonathan Kuminga is very interested in that idea. I mean, we've reported like Scott Perry went down to Miami this summer, generated a relationship with him. He did a Zoom call with Doug Christie on it. Like, he's very receptive to the idea of being a Sacramento King. But there's roadblocks, and some of those roadblocks is how uninterested the Warriors are in the Kings' offered assets. And, you know, Scott Perry sitting there going, hey, that protective first this summer's not even on the table currently. And we'll see, you know, what the Warriors end up doing. But right now they're not just going to take something to take something. They're saying they're willing. I reported it yesterday, right? They're saying they're willing to take him past the deadline. That clearly isn't the preference. There's so many personal dynamics at play in that organization right now, beyond Kuminga, that's not ideal if he's still sitting there rotting on the bench on February 8th. So we will see, but you know, he's certainly could be a Sacramento King, but we'll see how the next month plays out.
Yeah, man, we appreciate you. You wear that jacket better than Shams, by the way. Like, that is Shams' look. That little jacket. Yeah, you've got that look, man. That's the Anthony Slater look. You own that now.
I'll take that. But Shams a friend and a coworker, so you know.
That's our guy. I've never seen Vivek more starstruck than when Shams walked across the court and was it game one last year. But I noticed you were wearing he wears that style cut of jacket every TV hit, and it's like, oh, that's his look.
Yeah.
That's his look.
I'll take it.
We appreciate you, my man. Thank you as always.
All right, fellas.
That's our man, Anthony Slater, right there of ESPN. Again, appreciate him joining us. He just wrapped up a podcast with Brian Windhorst literally seconds before he jumped on with us. So head over to ESPN1320.com and enter to win two single-day passes to the Sportsman's Expo at Cal Expo Thursday, January 15th through January 18th. Again, that is over at ESPN1320.com. Anything stand out there for me, man? I'll tell you from my perspective, it wasn't really about the Kings. It was about the Warriors.
The personal dynamics going on. What's going on there?
Sometimes when you're talking to these guys who are very well connected with basketball teams, you've got to listen closely because they'll tell you something. They won't tell on themselves.
Right.
But if you're listening, they'll tell you something. And I caught that.
Do you want to take a guess on what that is? I have a theory.
Might
be too surface, but I have a theory.
Go ahead.
I think everybody wants to move on from him, but one person, and it's the decision maker.
Oh, you're talking about 23.
No. I think everybody wants to move on from Jonathan Kuminga, but Joe Lacob.
Oh. That's not how I took it. Mm. No. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. First of all, yes. That's probably right. I think they're a lot like, do you remember when you said earlier you made the statement about Scott Perry and, well, you know, not everything's going to be perfect and I got to get this in return and I got to get this in return and I got to get maximum value and all of these different things.
Yeah.
I think that's how they feel about Jonathan Kuminga, but they might have overplayed his value. Like go back to another thing that Anthony Slater was talking about there. He was talking about how the Warriors could shop in different aisles if they're willing to attach picks. And then he goes back and he says the Sacramento Kings are the team most interested in Jonathan Kuminga, the basketball player. What do we talk about all of the time this year? And last night was a great example of it. It's not always players that are traded. More times than not, it's not players that are traded.
Yeah.
It's contracts.
Yeah.
It's money. And the whole offseason fight wasn't about Jonathan Kuminga playing a single second for the Golden State Warriors. It was about them having a contract that they could use to, go back to Anthony Slater, shop in a certain aisle. That $24 million gets them somewhere. They probably need to go to a more expensive grocery store. They need to go to more expensive aisle.
Go to where's your place? That you go to?
The Galleria?
No. What's the expensive grocery store? Is it Whole Foods?
Nugget or Whole Foods, either one of them.
Yeah, that's where you shop.
Yeah, they need to get out of Save Mart. Yeah. Huh?
You gotta be like D-Lo, shop at the big places. Yeah, let me get that $20 steak right there.
Oh, sweetie, if you think a steak costs $20.
Yeah, I get the $2 steak. Tough.
Well, yeah, we do. We get the regular one.
That's disgusting. There's no way that...
We can't help it. That's all they have at Walmart, Dame.
Well, you don't have to shop at Walmart.
Winco, then. That's all we got.
Oh, Winco.
I might have a steak tonight. Oh, no. I told the kids we go to In-N-Out.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I asked the 17-year-old, what do you have for preference? She's preference for the restaurant tonight. She's like, oh, anywhere I can get a burger.
Well,
like, that's her thing. Burger and fries is her thing.
Yeah, that,
so that's what we're
smart.
It's not In-N-Out, but we'll be having burgers and fries smart. Tonight as well. I thought, like, I mean, at some point, this is where I thought you were going, because Jonathan Kuminga might not be the only player that Joe Lacob wants to hold on to, and Joe Lacob is the only one who wants to hold on to him. This Draymond Green thing has to be exhausting. Mm. I have no clue what, if any, his trade value could possibly be. And maybe the conversation shouldn't even be about moving him as a player. But this thing that is going on with him right now, the thing that happened with Steve Kerr a few weeks ago, as much as both of them have tried to minimize that, that, especially at this stage in everyone's career, has to be exhausting. Mm. Steve Kerr, by the way, who doesn't have a job next season. As it stands right now, Steve Kerr does not have a job next season.
Yeah.
All of this, it has to be exhausting.
They, Worldwide Wobe, he does his nightly calendar schedule or whatever.
Yeah.
And he puts the games out, and he has a one-sentence blurb next to every game. So Raptors, Pistons, Cade taking over the six or something like that. And the other day, it was Warriors versus whoever, and it was, how does he get ejected today?
Oh, God.
And that's what it's come down to.
It has.
This guy is getting ejected damn near every game for random reasons.
And it feels like I have credited Draymond Green for being right about the apron. I have credited Draymond Green for being right about
65 games.
65 games. Mm. So this isn't shade. Mm. He feels like an athlete who is acting out because his skills have diminished to the point he has nothing to offer.
Mm.
Draymond Green is still he's a very unique basketball player who gets away with things that Keon Ellis or anyone else in the Sacramento Kings uniform would not get away with.
Mm.
He is officiated different because of his career, because of how he defends and then how he acts. He is officiated differently. And some of that stuff isn't working anymore.
Mm.
And I, honest to God, think he's acting out. I think that's what it is. Like, he's, and what I say that because I don't see this getting better.
No.
Remember when he punched, was it Yusuf Nurkic?
Yeah, Nurkic.
And he was going to change, and he was going to be better, and he knew he screwed up when he ran off the court because you could see it in his face. Nothing has changed. He hasn't assaulted anybody recently, but like nothing has changed with this guy.
There's an adage in boxing of a guy who is in the middle of the fight and he knows he's about to lose, and he'll start doing stuff to get disqualified. He wants out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't win. I want out.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll do a low blow, or he'll clinch and all that. Like, I want out. I'm gonna lose. That's where it feels like Draymond is in his NBA career. And
he doesn't have the team success to lean on anymore.
Mm-mm.
Where he could say, you know, it's getting us where we got to go, or different things. Like, they're not.
They keep being better when he gets thrown out.
Yeah.
That's what continues to happen. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. And the Kuminga thing is interesting because they have done a poor job of managing, I don't mean it in a derogatory way, but that asset in all the stories that come out.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
like, they've done nothing but talk bad about him since after the first week of the season.
Right.
And now, according to you guys, he's selfish. He doesn't know how to play the game. He doesn't want to conform to what the coaches are saying. Why would I trade for him?
Mm-hmm.
If anything, do the Floyd Mayweather and hype him up. Ah, it's just a tough spot, man. You know, that's all it is. He's a good guy. He's a good ball player. No, they've done the opposite.
And that's I think a lot of what Floyd Mayweather is an illusion. Mm. But he knew how to sell a fight, and he built his opponent. And, like, that is the way to do it right there. The Warriors have taken the absolute opposite approach, and I don't, especially when you're talking about a young player. You're not talking about an established player. Mm-hmm. Talking about a young player. It's like, well, how does anyone know any different at this point? Yeah. He's only played for you.
And look, they may be right, but you don't say it.
Yeah, exactly. don't. We got to go, man. Jesse's making us end the show. We'll be back tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Mike McDaniel.